Well, there's still around the edges some things that need to be done, some information maybe you're going to collect on players. This is a great time in the National Football League for not only organizations, but really the heart and soul of the organizations are the road scouts, the guys that have gone on the road and that are looking at games every Saturday, breaking down tape, going to practice. You know, the coaches get out a little bit after the season and are able to go to some of these workouts that these players are having on campus. But you have a little bird's eye view. You don't have the crux of all the information, and it's great because I started out in the league as a scout. And so I know what they go through and how they gather information on players. You know, they've got 2-3 years of history on these guys. And so it's fun to sit in the rooms with the scouts when you're going over the position. You know, generally the position group, the coordinators sit in the meetings, the GM, the head coach, and then the scouts. And the position coach sits there, and let's say you're looking at a receiver. Okay. And you're going through all the receivers, and there's 10 guys that, you know, that you really like. These guys have everything. They know everything about these guys, what junior high school they went to. And it's just interesting when they start talking about these guys, and you sit there and you look and you go, wow. It's much more than just what you see on tape. And that's the fun part these next couple weeks. A lot of the boards are being set now as far as, you know, when you pick the type of players you're looking for, the positions in need, let's say. And it's a fun 3 weeks. It's grueling. But this is the time for the scouts. It really is. This is their time to shine. And they always seem to come up with a gem or two that you don't know about, and then coaches go on the road with these guys and start working some of these other guys out. This is a fun time of the year.
It's always fascinated me, Herm, about if you watch a player and you see that player on tape, you kind of know, mm-hmm. you know what you have.
Yeah.
And then the combine comes, and either they really wow you, or, he didn't have a great combine. In your mind as a scout, how important was the combine?
It's important, but it's really, you know, I could see this thing ending the combine. Because really, it's the height, the weight, the measurements, the physical that the guy's going to take. Those are the important things. How they participate, you want to see them compete. If you really like a guy and he doesn't run fast that day or he doesn't test well, you say, you know what, the guy comes in a day or two, you know, they don't sleep a lot, these kids. You don't worry about it. Then you go work them out, right?
Yep.
Some guys you really like and you're hoping they don't have a good combine. Because maybe that'll
– Never thought of that.
Will go, yeah. I don't really like that guy. You know, a great story I learned when I was a scout, right? I was on the road, you know, with these old veteran guys, these grizzly guys, and we're at this workout. And these kids are running, boy. And this one kid, I forget his name now, he ran down through there. And I said, man, you know, I was a young scout. And he's a receiver, you know. And I said, boy, is he fast. This dude's fast. I said, why is that on my list? And I said, this dude ran like 4.4, you know. That was back in the day when I was scouting 4.4. Like, wow, fast.
Yes.
And the old scout looks at me. He said, young man. He says, yeah, he runs 4.4, but he got 5.2 hands. And I looked at him, I said, he said, 5.2 hands. I said, it dawned on me. I said, this guy can't catch. That's not good. Man, wide receiver running 4.4, but got a 5.2 hands. That's not good.
Yeah, good at track, but yeah.
You kind of get enamored with the workouts, but at the end, I always tell coaches, what they do on the grass, don't lie. Just look at the tape.
Yeah, so many quarterbacks in this draft. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to 2021, yeah. Herm, I did that. And there were some quarterbacks that were taken high that just didn't pan out for, you know, whatever the reason. But as you look at this quarterback class as a whole, what do you think of it?
Well, I think it's a good class, to be quite honest. I think, you know, they're just trying to figure out who's 1, 2, and 3. For me, if I was picking, and I know him personally, and I had him, I would take Jaden.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, he'd be the first one on the board. Now, I Kellen Williams is fantastic. I think, you know, Drake May is really good. You know, he's the old traditional quarterback. He can run some, but he's not, you know, he's not like Williams or Jaden, you know, or those kind of guys. But I just think it's what you want. You know, what are you looking for? And I think this is the key to quarterbacks. And I've said this for a long time. It's not so much about what they do. is your system flexible enough to allow him to use his talent? A lot of quarterbacks fail because they're put in systems that doesn't allow their talent and their skill set to play well. And that's the failure of a lot of quarterbacks. It used to be you wanted a quarterback that stood in the pocket, ran your system. Now it's you want quarterbacks that can play off schedule. And that's part of it. And you got to allow that guy to play off schedule. In other words, you could have some scripted plays and all these things you want on your offense, but you got to let this guy play off script. And if you do that, their chances of being successful are greater.
Herm Edwards joining us, the coach, talking about the upcoming NFL draft. Of course, you see him on ESPN all the time talking the NFL. Herm, I understand how important scouting is. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that, I mean, look, if you pick in the first round, you have a bust. That doesn't help you.
Yep.
But I think it's the teams that get the gems in the fourth round, fifth round. You know, those. That's where a lot of hay is made. Do you agree with that?
Correct. That is the correct statement. When you look at the National Football League, most teams are built in the, you know, the third to the fifth round. You see a lot of really good players. You know, it's almost simple to pick a first rounder and a second rounder because you've heard about this guy for 2 or 3 years, right? Everybody knows who he is. And it's almost like it's like, okay, they've talked about you so much, we have to draft you that high. It's just because if we don't, the fan base is more aware of players too, right?
Sure.
They keep up with all this.
Yep.
And so they know who the first 50 guys are for the most part. It's according to when you take them off the board and when is your pick, right? But then it comes to this, and I've always said this, there's more pressure on a guy in the first and second round than there is in the fourth and fifth round because the expectations aren't very high. So you go into camp as the player in the fourth and fifth round, and the pressure's on the first and second round pick. There ain't no doubt about that. There's so much pressure on those guys. You're one of those other guys. You're just meat and potatoes. You know, good football player. You go, okay, that dude's a good football player. And you're right. Most of your teams are built that way.
Final thing. I don't want you to say when I'm asking this like that was a bad hire because, you know, you've coached in the National Football League, but – you know, in the coaching carousel that was this offseason in the NFL, was there a hire or two that you really liked? Was there a hire or two that you scratched your head about?
No, I think I've been in it long enough. You know, when it comes to owners and GMs, you know, what are they looking for? What type of coach? You know, and then generally this is what happens if you watch this. Whoever left there, whether – they left on their own accord or whether they were let go. The opposite guy kind of shows up. Whatever his personality is, whatever his philosophy was, it's almost 360 degrees opposite. That's who they're going to hire next.
Gotcha.
And some guys are hired through the media. You know, be quite honest, because the more you talk about certain guys, everybody kind of knows that they become the hot candidate. And so if you don't pick that guy, it's almost like the fan base goes, well, wait a minute. And you might not like the guy. I mean, I'm not saying you don't like the guy, but he might not be your first choice. But it's like you're almost compelled to go, you know what, we got a fan base. They buy tickets. This is the hot guy right now. It's interesting.
It is.
I've been involved in it now. It's very, very interesting. It was interesting how I got to the Jets. It's just interesting. It's just, that's another story we'll talk about off the air. But it's just interesting how things work. And obviously, I'm not saying there's collusion and all that. I'm not saying that. It's just the process of hiring is different. And every owner has his own mindset, to be quite honest.
Okay. Last question. Certain franchises, Dallas, you know, all of that, the expectations through the roof, owners, you know, some are more vocal than others. Does a coach look at that and say, do I want to go there or not? Or does that not even matter?
No, I think depending on how much tenure you have in the league as a coach and what your status is.
Gotcha.
If you're a young coach, you know what? There's only 32 jobs.
Gotcha.
And so it's not like you're going to turn down a job. No, I don't want to go there. Now, if you're really, you know, if you feel like, look, I'm going to have a chance the next couple of years, I'm going to go. But, you know, coaches are in the fix-it business. when you go somewhere, you want to fix it.
Yeah.
That's your challenge, is to fix it, right? Now, how long do you get to fix it? How much does the owner involved in it? You know that from previous coaches. I mean, you've talked to coaches that have been there, so you understand the situation. But, like, it's hard to turn down a job in the NFL to be a head coach. It's just hard.
Okay.
Because, you know, those owners talk, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you turn down a job, they say, well, hey, man, we offered the guy to turn us down. You know, so the other owners go, what are we? So there's a lot that goes into it. But, look, they're all jobs and they're all hard. Ownership has a lot to do with it. You know, you want to go to a good franchise that has a great owner. And you look at some of the teams that have kept coaches for a long time. I mean, New England was one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a great coach and a great situation. And now, you know, they lived in Camelot for almost 20 years. And now they're going through what everybody else is going through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's true. It's true.